Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Now, Lord, just like sponges, we soak in your healing love. We allow you to fill us, Lord, and we believe that you are for us. You don't forsake us, Lord. You don't run away from us. You don't ignore us. When we're hurting, Lord, you see it and you love us. And Lord, I'm asking as we reach up with a hand of faith right now, with hearts ready to receive, Lord, I ask you for miracles in this room. I ask you, Lord, for back problems to be healed, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for swelling, unusual swelling, Lord, puffiness and edema. Lord, I thank you for your mighty hand, Lord, just touching scars and hurts in our hearts and everywhere, Lord, touching our families and our unsaved loved ones, Lord, drawing them to you, Lord, in this moment of miraculous touch. We just pray for our families, Lord, and all that we love, Lord, our friends and our people in our life, Lord, and our circle of love. Come, Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, with that sponge-like faith, we draw upon the merits of the cross, all that Jesus has done, his finished work, and we receive our healing, and we receive our forgiveness, and we receive our grace, Lord, and a brand new future, Father. We praise you for this in the strong name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. 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 Why don't you greet two or three people around you and just say, man, thanks for that prayer. I needed it. Wow. Praise the Lord.
I was reading my Bible early yesterday morning, and I was reading something that it was the most unbelievable thing that I ever read. And the word of the Lord came to me. God said that he knows every star, and they say there are trillions of them. That's your scientist and your people that know the stars and the heavenlies through microscopes and telescopes and satellites. But God said, I've called every one of them by name. So if there's 2 trillion, he has 2 trillion names, and none of them are the same. And the Lord spoke to me and said, tell the people that are fearful about the signs of the times and what is happening and all the shakings and all the disturbances, tell the people, if I can call every star by name, if I can create the universe, if I can speak and the winds obey and the ocean and the seas depart, if I can feed 15,000 people with a little boy's lunch, if I can do all of that, why should you be fearful concerning the times and the seasons? I don't want you to be afraid. I don't even want you to know everything, because it's not for you to know everything that I have planned. But you should know that whatever you face and whatever you go through and wherever you go and whatever you do, I am in you and with you and over you and under you, and you are covered by my grace. And my grace has power to keep you in any situation. And don't let the devil tell you his lies that God doesn't love you, or you have missed out and you are going to be a black sheep and you're going to be a goat and you're going to be put out. I want you to know my grace wraps around you, and I will lead you from failure to success, from defeat to bring my name and my testimony to the world that I am a keeper and my grace is sufficient. Let's praise the Lord.
So I say, arise, shine, for my light is risen upon you. For darkness will come upon the earth. Have I not said? Even great darkness upon the people. But you are covered in my glory. So arise. Arise, church, and shine in this hour. There's a cataclysmic war in the heavenlies. Glory and darkness go well together because glory always wins. Arise, shine, for your light has come.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Take a teaching outline, grab one, it's next to you. We're going to get into the message. I want to just say one last detail. Sorry for all these details today, but we're trying to run a clean kitchen here. Those of you that are joining us in the cafe, we're very grateful. Now, the cafe has gone through some structural changes recently. We pulled up the carpet. Now it's a hard floor. That has changed the sound dynamic in the cafe. There's a lot more light in the cafe because we've opened up the wall there. And it's still a great place to be. But I need your cooperation when the message begins, whether it's first service or second service. When the message begins, that's when the visiting has to stop, and then we try to pay attention through the sound system and to the video feed, because people are coming to the cafe in the second service, and they haven't been to the first service. They haven't heard the word of God at all. They're coming, and they're coming to the cafe to hear. So the cafe is a great place for fun and family and all that, but just please, when the time comes for the message, they'll probably make an announcement in there in the cafe. Then we want that place to be just a great place to learn about Jesus. Amen. And you can always visit and fellowship in the hallway, but just be considerate and courteous towards your neighbor. I appreciate that. All right, we're in a series called Great Grace. Everybody say Great Grace. Are you glad for grace? We should be. It's the cornerstone of our Christian faith. There's no way to downplay how important grace is in the New Testament. It's a centerpiece. It's the heart of Christian theology, grace. Ours is the only faith that teaches grace. It's what makes us unique, and it is a crucial, crucial message for us. And I will tell you this, not only will it get your head right, but it'll get your heart right, because when you understand that God finally, when you finally understand that God is for you no matter what, and that he loves you, and that he accepts you, and that he came so that you could have life, when you really get that on an emotional level, then you are able to lay aside all of your fears and lay aside all of your worries about your relationship with God. You don't have to be fretting, does God love me? Is God in a good mood? Or, you know, once you really understand there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, then you're finally able to lay aside all of the junk that weighs you down and roll up your sleeves and get on with the business of enjoying life and serving other people and being a husband and loving your children and being a representative of Jesus Christ. But as long as you're tied up in your fears about God and how he hates you and disapproves of you and probably is against you, when you're tangled up in all of that, you're really no good for anybody. Grace wants to do a work in your heart that frees you and liberates you, not to go to a life of sin, but to go to a life of holiness and serving God. And so I'm thankful for this message of grace. Today, I want to address the subject, don't frustrate God's grace. Turn to your neighbor and just say, don't frustrate God's grace. All right? If you're doing that, just knock it off, all right? And this is why. Because it's Galatians chapter 2. These are the words of Paul the Apostle. We got it up on the screen for you, the King James Version. Let's read this together, okay? Can we read the word of God? I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead. I do not frustrate the grace of God, because if I can become righteous through what I do, if I can win heaven and eternal life by being perfect, then what need have we of Christ? Jesus died in vain if we can get there by the keeping of the law. The truth is we can't get there. So don't frustrate the grace of God. Receive the grace of God, because you really, really, really do need it. Well, who in their right mind would frustrate the grace of God? Some other translations of this say, I do not set aside the grace of God. One translation says, I do not dismiss the grace of God. Another one says, I do not treat as meaningless the grace of God. Who would do that in their right mind? We all love grace. We want grace. But it's us. We're the ones. Without realizing it, probably every person in this room at one point or another has failed to cooperate with grace. You've been in an awkward dance. You haven't known when it was okay to receive God's love and his acceptance and his forgiveness. You've tried to maybe push and do things in your own strength and be perfect so that God will love you. And that's an awkward thing, and it is a frustrating thing and an uncomfortable thing. We are the ones that frustrate God's grace, and we do it in many ways without realizing it. Here's what I would like us to do. I would like us to cooperate with grace. In fact, if there's one thing I'd like you to memorize from today's message, if you forget everything else I say, please cooperate with grace as it leads you past your failures. You say, Pastor David, I've failed. Look, I can't be in the ministry. I can't serve God. I can't be saved. God could never be pleased with me. You know, listen, let me tell you something about grace. Grace is trying to get you past that. Grace is trying to get you past your failure and into the loving arms of God. Will you cooperate with grace? Will you allow it to work in your life instead of frustrating it and struggling with it? Let me spend a few minutes here talking about God's approval, God's love, God's grace. I think if we were honest, we would all admit that inside of it, the heart of every human being, there's a tremendous, deep longing for approval. Just to feel value, to feel I'm worth something. We don't maybe say that to ourselves day in and day out, but let me tell you, that is a drumbeat deep inside your heart. As little children, we just hope for the moment when a teacher would smile at us or give us a gold star. We interact with our parents, whether that was a healthy relationship or unhealthy, whatever the dynamic was when you were, I'll bet you there was at some point in your life a tremendous drive to please your father, to be approved of by your mother, to hear, you know, somebody affirm you. And if you didn't get it from your father or mother, you probably, like many of us, went on a quest looking, what, is there anybody that would approve of me? Is there anybody that would look at me and say, you know, you're worth something? There's value there. You're valid. You're worth loving. It's a deep and tremendous thing on the inside of us. And what makes it complicated is that we kind of learn a lesson, the way of the world, which is a little disappointing. And that lesson goes something like this. If you do good, you will be loved. If you perform to this level, if you get an A, you will be loved. If you get a C, not so much. If you obey me, I'll be proud of you. If you mess up, I'll be ashamed of you. And we learn somehow this quest for approval is pretty rocky road. We find out that love is very often conditional. At least that's our perception of it. And the only way to maybe feel good is to be perfect. The only problem is none of us are. And I've seen it, and I came, you know, this little struggle that I'm talking about, I mean, I think it frames most all of our experiences in life. I know it did for me in my early years. You can come to a place where you don't get approval and you don't get love, and you just say, forget it then, I'm going to rebel. I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way because you don't love me anyway. And that's where people become criminals very early in life. Not me, of course, but other people. And so, you know, we harden, and the heart has this capacity. If your heart isn't loved, it has the capacity to just get petrified, rock hard. And you just say, forget it, I won't try anymore. And we live, but we still need this. Is there a man? Is there a woman? Is there a boss? Is there some way that I could ever be valued, approved of. And that's why the message of grace is so powerful. I want you to think about how many times you've failed and messed up and you were not able to maybe find your place of approval in the world. You just didn't have what it took to earn, you know, a consistent approval. And I want you to understand that this approval comes, and this forgiveness and this grace comes from God to your heart today. And if you would just let your heart be like a sponge to soak in God's love, it would release you from whatever events shaped your life to cause you to seek approval. Look, imagine the power of a verse like this. Think about Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful when they fail. And I, this is God describing the new covenant, okay? This is very, very central message of the Bible. I will erase their sins and their wicked acts. Oh no, God can't forgive something wicked. I mean, he could forgive a sin. I tried and I messed up, but you don't know, David, I was wicked and I knew better. I will erase their sins and their wicked acts out of my memory as though they never existed. Now you say, that can't be true. No, because I have learned in the world that if I'm good, I will be approved. If I'm lovely, I will be loved. But when I'm wicked, I can't be loved. But God says, I love you. Doesn't matter what you've done. Listen, I'm going to say some things to you today that your brain is going to fight with. It can't be true. That can't be right. But I'm not talking to your brain. I want to talk to your heart. Let the word of God go right into your heart. God loves you. And he will wash away your sins in a minute. And it will be as though they never. And I don't mean just your foul ups. I mean the wickedest, worst thing you ever conceived of in your life. And he will make it as though it had never happened. Is that what the Bible says? Everybody say grace. So your relationship with God is totally different than your relationship with anybody else in this world. He does not love you conditionally. He does not love you when you're perfect. He loves you at all times. And when you are imperfect, and I am, he will forgive you and he will give you his grace. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the gospel. That is the message we preach. This is why we have a church. This is what we sing about. This is what we communicate. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is our message, that there is forgiveness and there is grace. Hallelujah. And we can be secure in our relationship with God despite our imperfections. I'm a little bit sad this week because I heard in the news that Ann Graham Lotz, the daughter of Billy Graham, her husband passed away. She's a godly, godly woman. He suffered for quite a while, and she had a big loss. And I was sad about it because I had planned to tell this story, and I will still tell this story of Ann Graham Lotz, who as a teenager, imagine being the daughter of Billy Graham. I mean, no pressure, right? She was driving, and she tells the story of how she got in a car accident. She was a young driver. It was her fault. She was speeding carelessly. She wasn't paying attention. She smashed into her neighbor, Mrs. Pickering. And I mean, she was terrified to tell her father, I wrecked the Chevy, the family car. She was so afraid that she stayed away all day. She couldn't face her father, stayed out of the house, but finally, you know, she got hungry. She knew she had to go home and face the music, and she came, and she was hoping to kind of tiptoe through the house, and there she comes into the kitchen, and standing before her is her father, the Reverend Billy Graham. And she freezes. She knows she has to tell this story. And then she just runs into his arms. And she starts sobbing and confessing, "Daddy, I wrecked the Chevy. I ruined the car. It was my fault. It wasn't Mrs. Pickering's fault at all. I did it. I wasn't paying attention." She's crying, crying, crying. And he just held her and held her and held her. And he finally said, "Ann, I knew since this morning that you had wrecked the car. I was just waiting for you to come home and tell me what you had done. Ann, I love you. Ann, we can fix this. Ann, you're going to be a better driver because of this." She had that security and that love. And this is important, friends, because every single one of us wrecks the Chevy. We all foul up when we should know better, and then we say, "I know what I'll do. I'll stay away from God and his house. I'm too ashamed." But we're frustrating grace, because grace is waiting to embrace us. Grace is waiting to heal us and forgive us and reassure us. And yes, there's a price that will be paid. And yes, there's damage that needs to be addressed, and things need to be set right. But God loves us and he forgives us. You see, brothers and sisters, we don't have to be afraid of God. Grace removes, jot this down, grace removes the shame of our imperfection. It sets us free to say, "You know what? It's not the end of the world that I'm not perfect, because I will still be loved by God." Romans 8:1. "So now there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus." Do you belong to Christ? Have you surrendered to Christ? Have you given your heart to him? There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. We don't have to hate ourselves. We don't have to live in shame just because we're imperfect, just because we fall short. There is no condemnation. We can fail. I don't want to fail. But if I do fail, I know that it doesn't change God's affection for me. I will tell you this. In the first service, 4 or 3 lights just went out. Bam, just like that. And in the second service, my mic went out. So you better listen to what I'm saying, because somebody doesn't want you to hear it or see it. When you finally get that, if you fail, you are still lovable. When you finally get that, that frees you to be the man that you're supposed to be. I don't know how to be a father. I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to be a Christian. I don't know how to follow God. I don't know how to treat people well. How do I do that? Well, you can't do it when you're carrying all this pressure to be perfect. Let it down. Know that you are loved, and then pick up life and start living it. And then address your wife and address your children and stop worrying about yourself and making everything about yourself. It's not about you. God has set you free from you. Stop being consumed with how perfect or how great you are. You're putting yourself in the middle of it again. God's love takes your record off the table and frees you now to serve him, to pray, to pursue a life of holiness, to love your wife, love your husband, be a father, be a worker, be what God has called you to be a leader, be a minister. See? So many of us are so still tied up with ourselves. Grace frees you even from yourself if you understand it. "Well, I condemn myself. I critique myself. I agree with the enemy when he attacks me and says, 'What kind of a fool are you? What kind of a Christian are you? What kind of a man are you?' you spend your time agreeing with the enemy, then he's going to break you deep inside. Romans 8:33, here's the gospel. Who dares accuse us? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? Who can do it? No one. For Jesus Christ died for us and was raised to life for us. Certainly God is not going to condemn you. Listen carefully. Do you think Almighty God would send his son to die on a cross, to be stripped naked, beaten, mocked, spit on, and tortured, so that you and I could know his love and his forgiveness? Do you think he would send his own son and then, having done that, turn his back on you? He will never forsake you. He's already proven his commitment to you. So then how do we live? Well, we live under an umbrella of his righteousness, not our righteousness. We live, and if I stumble, and I will, I don't want to. That's not my goal, because I love the Lord. I want to get it right, but I'll mess up. And when I do, I know that I'm covered by his grace. I don't frustrate the grace of God. His grace covers me, and I know, listen, I found the approval I was looking for. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I found my unconditional approval. It comes from God. And as much as I want you to love me, and I do, I can't count on your approval. I can count on God's approval. And I can walk through life understanding, maybe I'll let somebody down, maybe somebody will misread me and withhold their approval. What can I do? At the end of the day, if God is for me, that's all I got. But for me, as a teenager looking, this is what I found. I found Jesus. I found the unconditional love of God. And please don't try to take that away from me by telling me, you know, don't talk too much about grace. Don't talk too much. Don't, you know, you'll spoil the people. They'll get sloppy. They'll start living in sin. We'll address that. We'll address that. But don't take the one thing that healed me, the one thing that anchors me, is that when I mess up, God still loves me. Just let me live with that. Just let me have that. Will you let me have that? Will you let your neighbor have that? Turn to somebody and say, grace to you. Then turn to somebody else and say, grace to you. See? It works. Hallelujah. Let me give you just, in the next few minutes, just three ways, typical ways, though we don't mean to, these are three ways that we frustrate God's grace. Number one, number two, number three, don't do it. Okay? All right. One, we can short-circuit God's grace. Did you know grace can be short-circuited? As beautiful and as perfect grace is, you can short-circuit it. You can short-circuit God's grace, according to Galatians 5. If you try to be made right with God through the law, you have left God's grace. If you say, well, the law of Moses says, XYZ, I must do the law of Moses, and when I do the law of Moses, then I will be accepted by God. If you live that way, you have frustrated God's grace. Now, I don't want you to throw away the moral law of God. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. We got to respect the boundaries. But if you say, I'm going to do the law so that God will accept me, you have short-circuited grace. You have left it. And what Paul is addressing here is something very serious called legalism. Now, I want you to understand clearly what legalism is. Legalism is man's attempt to be righteous and earn eternal life by keeping the law of Moses. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't try to be righteous. We should do what is right. But when you do what is right in order to be saved, that's legalism. And you have short-circuited grace. Law-keeping, brothers and sisters, cannot save you. Religion cannot save you, because no matter how hard you try, you can't do it. Now, that doesn't mean we disregard the law of God. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to stand up for the law. The law is good and righteous and holy, but it's not what saves us. And we've got to keep that straight. We're saved. I think I remember hearing something in the New Testament, for we are saved by grace. Yeah, that's coming back to me now. For we are saved by grace and not of works. That removes the boasting. We're saved by grace through faith. Remember, God's acceptance, watch this, write this down. God's acceptance is not about what we can do. It's about what Christ has done. Stop looking to your perfection and look to Christ's perfection. That is your hope, my friend. Not you being perfect, but the fact that he was perfect for you and that he has forever perfected you in the finished work of the cross. Don't short-circuit grace. Number two, don't insult God's grace, because some do. And I'm sorry to say that this is true, but it was addressed in Hebrews. How much greater, the word of God says, how much greater punishment do you think that person deserves who has contempt for the Son of God and profanes the blood of the covenant that made him holy? And what? Insults the Spirit of grace. It is, the writer of Hebrews is talking about apostasy. He is saying, look, there are people who renounce grace, renounce Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they say, I don't want Jesus anymore. I'm going back to my religion. Or I'm becoming an atheist. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is addressing. He says, what do you think is going to happen to these guys? If Jesus is the one that makes you holy and acceptable and gives you eternal life, and then you turn your back on Jesus and renounce him, if you slap the Holy Spirit right across the face and say, forget it, I don't want it. I don't want Jesus. I don't want the cross. I don't want God the Father. I don't want heaven. I don't want the Bible. I don't want church. I sure don't want Christians. Forget it all. The writer says, what's left to save you? You say, do people do that? Yes, they do. The Newsboys. Anybody heard of the Newsboys? Most famous, one of the most famous Christian groups in the history of music. And yet one of its founders, George Perdikis, has now fully renounced Christ. I'm talking about the guy who started the Newsboys, has fully renounced Jesus Christ. He wrote on a blog not long ago, I'm now an atheist. I always felt uncomfortable with the strict rules imposed by Christianity. All I wanted to do my whole life was play rock and roll. And yet most of the attention I received was focused on how well I maintained the impossible standards of religion. I wanted my life to be measured by music, not by my ability to resist temptation. So by 2007, I renounced Christianity once and for all and declared myself an atheist. How do you go from a worship leader singing about the gospel, singing about the great love and grace of God, how do you go from that to a place where you say, I don't want to be saved. I don't want Jesus Christ in my life. Forget the whole mess. I'm not sure how it happens, but I will tell you this. Guard your heart from bitterness. Don't frustrate the grace of God in your marriage and in your life, in your thinking, because if you frustrate grace and it gets tangled up and you believe that God cannot be pleased, you will react with bitterness. You will become a bitter husband. You will become a bitter person. How does a father turn his back on his own child? I don't know. But bitterness enters in, and it happens every single day. And you can begin to hate people. Begin to hate the people of God. And if you can hate God's people, you can certainly hate God. And it would surprise you to think of who could walk away from God. But the Bible tells us in the last days, there will be a great falling away, a full and final and permanent walking away of many people who loved God, and they will fall away. Make sure you keep your heart bathed in grace, bathed in loving Jesus. Do not allow anger or judgment or bitterness to enter into your heart, criticism, because that thing will grow and it will wedge in, and those roots of bitterness will finally cause you to criticize God. You'll criticize the Bible. You'll criticize church. You will turn on anyone who crosses you, including God. And you are slapping the Holy Spirit right across the face by falling away and rejecting God's grace. Now listen, none of this means that, and people say when I talk about apostasy, or here's another one, the unforgivable sin, people get very nervous. I hope that isn't me. I hope I haven't fallen away. I drank too much this week. I think it was me. Listen, let me tell you something. If you care whether or not you're an apostate, you're not an apostate. If you're worried that you might have committed the unpardonable sin, promise you, you haven't committed the unpardonable sin. Because an apostate is someone who says, I know it's real, I just don't want it, forget it, I renounce it off my life. And a person that says, yeah, the Bible says this, whoever comes to me will I in no way cast out. Right? So if you're still saying, Lord, I can't believe I blew it. God, please, I don't want to lose my relationship. You're not that person. He will not cast you out. He loves you. But there are those that will slap the Holy Spirit right in the face and say, this is not for me. And once you do that, there's no plan B. God gave his son. What else remains for you if you renounce the son? Guard your heart, amen? And let me just say this. Please pray for the persecuted church. Please pray for the persecuted church, because the persecuted church are being held by sword. I have a letter here from a man I ministered to in India. We support him every month. One of his pastors was slain for his faith, leaving behind a wife and 3 small children. Killed. It's happening. And it's all over the Middle East. It's around the world where you've seen it in the news. And they put the sword to your throat and they say, what do they say? Renounce. Do it now. Slap the Holy Spirit right across the face. Renounce your faith. And they say, no, thank you. And I pray that we would have that kind of courage in our hearts every day. We have it so easy. We think persecution is maybe we didn't get a promotion, you know, or something. May we be the kind of Christians that hold so closely to Jesus Christ that our persecuted, our martyr brothers and sisters who are in heaven watching us now would not turn away their face in shame when we downplay Jesus Christ or even come close to renouncing him. There's one more way that we frustrate the grace of God. We frustrate the grace of God through legalism. We frustrate the grace of God through apostasy. And we frustrate the grace of God by perverting grace. Did you know that grace can be perverted? It can. And it's the brother of Jesus who calls us out. Jude, he says, ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches. Oh my goodness. Saying, what do they say? What's their message? Saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to lead immoral lives. And maybe you've heard that. And that is a terrible perversion. I can do whatever I want. Jesus died. His blood forgives. I am free. Therefore, we. And we're with every guy and we're with every girl and we don't care about God's law. And we say the moral law cannot hold me. Forget the moral law of God because I'm saved by grace. And then somebody comes to them and says, hey, brother, that's not okay. You can't talk like that. You can't do that. You can't live like that. That's wrong. And then they hit you with this. Don't give me that legalism, which is the trump card. You don't understand legalism. Legalism is saying live right to be saved. Grace says live right because right is right and wrong is wrong. That's just wrong. I'm going to talk later this year about holiness because we need to understand grace. We need to understand holiness. We need to understand what the Bible teaches us about a holy lifestyle. For example, Romans 6:1 says, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? God forbid. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? See? And then he says in Titus that grace actually will teach us to live a holy life. Look at this, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, giving us this message. Here's the message. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live how? Read it with me. Soberly, righteously, and it's grace that teaches that message. So don't take grace and say, therefore, I get to do as I please. You've just perverted grace. Grace does not come to empower sin. Grace comes to free us from sin and to teach us how we can walk with God under the umbrella of Christ's righteousness, how we can stumble and mess up if we do, and retain the space that we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, fearing the Lord, walking in holiness, and not relying on our personal holiness to save us, but relying on our personal holiness to be pleasing to God. In other words, don't slap God in the face after he sets you free by grace. Then you say, thanks, God, I'm off to the drug dealer. Appreciate it. Got me off the hook. Now I can really have fun. No true Christian thinks that way. That's a perversion. How many understand what I'm saying? So we live to please. Once you know Jesus and once you understand who he is and what he's done for you and God's plan for your life and how bad it hurts when you mess up anyway, then you say, all right, I'm going to flow and cooperate with grace. Worship team's going to come and I want us to just have a little few minutes to sing here and and be able to experience God's grace. And I want to just talk to you from my heart. The universal drive for approval that leads most of us, you know, to doing all the things that we're not supposed to do in life, trying to find happiness, trying to find approval. That longing is met by God through Jesus Christ. You are loved exactly as you are. And when you sin, God forgives you and erases it. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, I'm telling you, this is the message that we preach This is our gospel. You say, what does it mean to be a Christian? What do Christians believe? They believe in grace. They believe in God's love and His forgiveness, and that when we receive by faith what God has done for us in the cross, their sins and their wickedness. It's one thing to sin. It's another thing to be wicked. Their sins and their wickedness, I will remember no more. And I will erase it as though it never existed. I tell you, this is the greatest message in the world. Do you know why I want to pastor a church? Because I believe a church is the greatest way to spread this message. The church is the greatest way to get people strengthened in grace, to raise children in grace, to talk to teenagers and witness to a community, and to love and to be real, and to see this thing spread in cascading rivers of God's forgiveness and grace. The last thing I want to do is put burdens on people that will drive them to say, I'm out of here. I can't do this. Our church is about the gospel. Amen. And this is what we want to see happen in people's lives. Would you stand with me? And I want you, just as we just kind of celebrate and sing and marinate for a minute here, Pastor Nicole is going to say, I want you just to receive grace. Let your heart be like a sponge. Receive God's love and His approval. Lord, we are so perfect at one thing. We are perfect at failing. And it's too much, Lord. We can't conceive of such love, such acceptance. It nourishes our hearts. It redeems us. We're so grateful. Thank you for grace. Come on, lift your hands, everybody, and thank God for grace. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for imparting grace to us. Lord, saturate our hearts with grace. Saturate our marriages with grace. Saturate our families with grace. Saturate this church with grace, Lord. Lord, no more death, no more division, no more breakups. Lord, heal and fill and complete us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for anyone in this room that's still on that search for acceptance, still trying to figure out how to win God's love and affection, how to win people's love and affection. Lord, let us finally and fully turn our hearts over to you. For it is a good thing for the heart to be established in grace. I want my friends on the altar team just to come. Would you guys, men and women, a few elders, a few intercessors, just come forward at this time. I want to invite every person in this room. I don't know if you've ever fully surrendered your heart to Christ. I hope you have, but you can be sure today that you're forgiven. You can be sure today that you're accepting God's offer of love and grace. He's talked to you, now talk to Him. Can we say a prayer together? It's up on the screen. We'll all say it together aloud. Here we go. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the grace of Christ that covers me for so long. Come on, pray, church. I'm sorry for frustrating your grace. And I ask you to lead me past my sins into your loving arms. Thank you for great grace in this season. In Christ's name, amen. And listen, that means a whole lot. That means a whole lot. If you wreck the Chevy this week, you'll be okay. God says, I love you. We can fix this. You're going to be better tomorrow. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for being with us at Gateway. If you need prayer, come check in with my friends. And take a minute and just spread the love of Christ to one another. Greet one another. And I will see you Saturday at 11 at Vasona Park. It's going to be great. And if you're a musician, check out the reception, 201, in 5 minutes.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. you may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.